Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What turns you off? Successful musicians, struggling musicians, Tories, anyone who likes to play or watch cricket as a legitimate sport, anyone with more than a passing interest in football or worse, wrestling, guys who eat meat, especially red meat, in front of me, guys with an unhealthy diet or who can't cook, small feet, gross teeth, bitten nails, long nails, bucket hats, coloured trousers, V-necks, posh accents, grating American accents, bitchy guys, quiet guys, overly loud guys and posh guys.
Hi, I'm Sam Wolfson. If you're someone who's been in a relationship for, say, the last 10 years, you'd probably be dumbfounded by the myriad of different ways you could hook up with a stranger tonight. Not just the old-fashioned dating sites like Match.com or the slightly more newfangled Tinder. There's now a plethora of weird apps that have an almost freaky specificity. You can date on your religion, people's jobs, whether they wear uniforms, how rich they are, how famous they are. Basically, it's never been easier to meet up with someone and have sex. But will you go home with a stranger tonight? Yeah, you could, but it's not as simple as that. I mean, obviously someone can be a dick or really horrible to you and then you're definitely not going to sleep with them. But there are also these smaller things, like little deal breakers that maybe you shouldn't care about, but you really do. Maybe you go on a date with someone and they have a full-blown goatee. Or they describe things they like as lush. Or you ask them what their favourite film is and they say that it's Avatar. It's open season. We're talking about deal breakers. Just chat this week with Hannah Ewins and Angus, who you probably know, and two newbies to the podcast, Fred McPherson from the band Spectre, and first, Nina Joyce.
I was really racking my brain for something a bit deeper than shoes, but I think that shoes are a real universal thing because as soon as you meet someone, you end up looking at their shoes. And shoes, I think, say a lot about someone. So, like, for example, a friend of mine got asked out by this guy who she was chatting to and he seemed kind of cute. And she was like, yeah, why not? But the main point to relay here is he was stood behind a bar, so she couldn't see his shoes. And he turned up to the date wearing what she described as sort of these orthopedic croc velcro hybrids that were just absolutely disgusting, and no matter what happened she couldn't get over the fact that these shoes said more than anything he could say from his mouth.
I mean, it's definitely not just you, because I've heard a lot of people mention shoes when it comes to sort of first impressions.
I'm so on board with Nina on this.
Have you ever turned someone down because of their footwear?
Well, I'm quite short, so say like a date is approaching me, first thing I'm gonna see is their shoes, and then I'm gonna look up and like, if yeah, it makes me feel a bit sick.
I think most shoes are shit, to be honest.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. Like,
I haven't really seen any good ones.
I think it tells a story, doesn't it? The shoe.
I draw the line at bare feet. There was a guy out on Saturday, and yeah, he's a good looking guy who fancies himself as a bit of a kind of fixture on the, you know,
what, a new edition?
London party scene. I'm sorry, Sam, you went to Nashville. Things have changed. And he was barefoot in the house, and it was like sticky floor, drinks flying, glasses breaking, and he was really like being barefoot guy. And It wasn't the most pedicured foot. So I was speaking to a guy the other day who has lots of chem sex at parties at his, and he said when guys turn up, he always has a fresh pair of white socks that he demands everyone wears, because that way he doesn't have to send people home based on cracked heels. And then I was like, well, how often does a cracked heel go through near your face during sex? And he kind of demonstrated on the carpet using one of us as a kind of
buffer.
So he said he'd rather just have everyone in these white socks so that you don't get foot in face during sex, which has never happened to me. But
you
I've
look
only
like
had
really cute Smurfs as well.
Yeah,
kind of sort of.
But then the idea
orgy.
Of all these like these naked guys around, kind of passing drugs and just in socks. He was like, "Well, don't you find that the idea of that really sexy?" And I was like, "Well, not really with girls or guys, because I think socks just kind of amplify some of the worst bits of people anyway."
Can you stand up if that would actually make you not see someone again? That you just go on the first date and never see them again?
Oh.
Hannah and Nina are both creaking to their feet there.
Crinkling our chainmail shoes as we stand up. Yeah, but they'd have to be like a bit ho-hum generally as well.
Okay. I would just pretend that I hadn't. I'd just walk out. I'd just pretend that I wasn't me and that I was walking away.
I think you'd be like, hey, so what the fuck are on your feet? Like, you wouldn't ignore it. You'd be like, let's talk about those.
And if they were like, yeah, I just really like them, they're cool.
See, now my deal breaker makes less sense, because I think that I would want to hear more about these ridiculous
chainmail shoes.
What if they're
just like, oh, they're comfortable?
But has it ever been a deal breaker? Has this actually happened?
Yes, but in different kind of, it's not been as immediate as I'm going to stand up and leave, because I can't stop thinking about your shoes, or in reference to your other story, the lack of shoes.
Angus, what's your deal breaker?
This is a classic. This is an oldie, but a goldie.
Yeah.
I went on a Tinder date with a girl, and I kind of realized as I arrived that we'd never really discussed about what she did. And she was a researcher for a Tory MP.
Ooh.
Which actually my initial reaction to was like, this was kind of David Cameron era. So kind of in that point.
So
where
you were
they
still
were,
on board.
Kind of that era where some Tories were sort of pretending that they were like left wing and stuff. So I was a bit like, look, this doesn't have to be a completely unpleasant evening. I can kind of just get through this. But then she was just so aggressively Tory the entire time.
Can I ask, was this in London or Bristol?
This was in London.
In London. So presumably if you're like someone in your 20s in London and you're a massive Tory, you must be used to an extent, people finding that a bit difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she say anything?
She did sense the awkwardness around it. She was like, when I asked her what she did, and she told me, she probably also saw me repulsed from the other side of the table. But she kind of did say like, yeah, I'm guessing you're not, like, you know, and I was like, no, I'm not. And then it kind of was a bit frosty and a bit silent, but she did seem kind of genuinely a bit like, oh God, this always happens. I mean, obviously the quick fix is don't be a Tory. I think we'd need at least kind of Blairite for things to be looking like.
Right.
We might go for dinner, maybe do dinner and a show.
But now a deal breaker might be the type of Labour.
I know, it's really complicated now. I'm glad that, like, since Labour's in disarray, I'm glad I'm in a relationship, because that would be too much instability in my life.
Anyone who's not a Corbyn supporter, but a reluctant Corbyn supporter who sees a lot of the flaws in him.
Yeah, this is it. That's like now the acceptable group is like, I will only have sex with people who became a Labour member in order to get Corbyn in, but are now disillusioned because he's ineffectual.
Or you go on a date and they're like, I think Chukwuemeka should be leader, and you're like, really? That could be a problem.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Like, what if the date had gone great? What if she'd been charming and funny and a bit posh, but like you really got on and you shared interest in dubstep or whatever it is that you're into?
I think this is the thing about deal breakers though, isn't it? It's not necessarily that you think there is a defect with the other person, it's the defect within yourself that immediately is highlighted. So I think the defect within myself is that I can't get past that. That's what the deal breaker is. It's not them, it's you.
Could anyone else on this Liberal Lovey podcast get over dating a Tory?
Yeah.
I've interacted with enclaves of conservatives.
I know you have.
Young people in London and have had to learn to coexist on occasion for the sake of the size of the house parties on offer.
Mm. And that is a key factor in this, is that what you lose with political righteousness, you do gain a lot of, tend to gain a lot of in good parties and sort of
big houses.
Yeah,
big
what
houses.
I would say is, I think there's like a difference between like being friends with or hanging out with Tories and dating Tories. So like I have found myself in similar enclaves and ghettos from time to time.
They don't like however, you to call them that.
However, dating was very different because she picked the location, which was a very, very expensive cocktail bar. And yet dating protocol, especially with a Tory, meant that I had to buy the drink. So I was like dropping like £10 on each drink.
Isn't that a totally standard cocktail price?
No, that's a deal breaker for me. The second I had to drop £10 full stop.
Yeah. And I was also looking at her thinking like, the chances are you can definitely afford these drinks a lot more than I can.
Let's put it this way. Would you be in a relationship with a paid up member of the Conservative Party? Stand up if you think you would.
I think I could. I just don't think I would.
I don't think I would. Okay, so basically no one's dating a Tory at Vice, no massive surprises there. Hannah, what's your deal breaker? I mean, you did a whole list of them once, I remember.
Yeah, and I got a lot of extreme hate for simply describing the perfect man. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I put what turns you off, and I just said successful musicians, struggling musicians, Tories, anyone who likes to play or watch cricket as a legitimate sport, anyone with more than a passing interest in football or worse, wrestling, guys who eat meat, especially red meat, in front of me, guys with an unhealthy diet or who can't cook, small feet, gross teeth, bitten nails, long nails, bucket hats, coloured trousers, V-necks, posh accents, grating American accents, bitchy guys, quiet guys, overly loud guys and posh guys.
Hannah, are you currently seeing anyone?
I'm not. So that probably says a lot. I think I am quite picky. But this is obviously a big list of like loads of different things that I would not be into.
Why do you think that you have such a long list, internal list?
It's probably, yeah, like Angus says, it probably says more about me than it does about other people. It's entirely just because I'm quite critical, but I'm also self-critical, so I suppose it swings both ways. I would say, thinking of the deal breaker, which actually happened, this was a particularly bad date. It was from Tinder. He knew that at the time I was vegetarian, and he picked where we were going to eat.
Not Angus Steakhouse.
It was Angus Steakhouse. It literally Angus Steakhouse. And
no
then we
way.
Met.
Where is he from?
Well, he's from up north. I'm not sure what.
It's not a different country.
I just thought no English people went to Angus Steakhouse. What was the unwritten rule? It was only for people in London on their first time and probably last time in London.
And it was Leicester Square.
He said to you on Tinder, let's meet at Angus Steakhouse.
No, he said, let's meet and I'll surprise you when we get
there. No, that was his big.
And then we went for a drink. And then went to this place. And it was, I couldn't even believe it. But because I was actually really skint at this time and going through a patch of like going on dates to sort of eat.
Okay, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast in itself. We went in and I was just like, I can't even believe this is happening, but it's so bad. It's probably going to be content in some way. So it's fine.
And you were right.
And I was right. And then he was like, oh, it's fine. There are veggie options. Looked on the menu. I'm pretty sure like the only thing was like vegetarian skewers as a side. And I remember just having like fries and it's just sitting there in front of him eating this like really disgusting rare steak and like putting all this like garlic butter and salt all over it. And
I want to date this guy.
It was just horrific from start to finish.
What happened in the moment where he revealed #SecretLondon that he was going to take you to Angus Steakhouse? Why didn't you at that point say no?
Okay, a multitude of reasons. I was drunk, for starters.
Wait, you turned up to the date drunk?
No, because we went for drinks before, and then this
happened.
He was
saving the big surprise. You've got to build up.
Yeah.
And when you're going ASH.
Honestly, like, a lot of repulsion, but also just, like, genuine disbelief that someone would know that I was vegetarian and take me there. It's not like being like, oh, we'll just go to, like, Prezzo or whatever.
It's like, but at least he's not patronising you. It's not like we're going to Veggie Prep for dinner. He's like,
I would love that.
He's showing you the respect of saying, we're going to a restaurant that mainly serves meat, but it's 2017, and you're someone who is potentially at ease if he didn't read your article.
But he's saying, what he's saying is, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's a
about
power
what
move.
You're into.
Like, it's
I
a
do
total
not give
power
a
move.
Single fuck that you're not going to enjoy this. I'm going to make you watch me eat this big slab of flesh. And that's what deal breakers say. They say, it isn't about the thing. It's about the thing it says about you.
I mean, I'm not even a vegetarian. And for me, it would be a deal breaker if someone took me to Angus Steakhouse. Not just as like, I think if we ended up there in a kind of like fun way and we were in Leicester Square, but to save it, to promise a surprise, then go for drinks first and then build up and the surprise is...
For me, I would marry them there on the spot because I don't know anyone who's eaten at Angus Steakhouse.
It's like the surprise
in our generation.
Like going back to their house and finding out they're really into like Nazi memorabilia. It's a surprise, Bish. But it's not a nice one.
Yeah. Do you know what? I don't think that I'm principled enough to find this deal breaker because, for example, when I started seeing my girlfriend, we were both smokers, I think because we were both single, and like it's good to smoke when you're single because you get a lot of sort of smoking area chit chat. And within 3 weeks, we'd both given up because it was then once it was on, there was no need for it anymore. And I haven't, you know, neither of us have had a proper cigarette in a year or something. Okay, so I'm not going to make anyone stand up, but all the vegetarians basically in agreement that this is unacceptable.
I wouldn't mind going out with someone who ate meat, but. Like I said before, I think it's the principle of them saying, I'm going to go to this place which is offensively meaty and offensively bad. It's not even a good steakhouse. Like,
I mean, that's
like,
Fred
says,
we don't know. We don't know. No one's been there. It's the biggest mystery in London.
Fred, what's your deal breaker?
This is going to sound slightly abstract, but my deal breaker is actually dates themselves.
Right.
Going on a date or even a series of dates. The whole prospect of suggesting a location to meet, a time and an activity, whether it be drinking, eating, bowling or fishing. I don't know what it is young people do. Just fills me with dread.
Why?
Because I think it's impossible to engage in one of those situations without becoming so self-conscious and aware of this kind of defunct 50s mating ritual that I just don't go there. And on occasion, when I've had to go on a series of dates with people who find that the only appropriate way of quote-unquote getting to know each other, it's always ended in a disaster, probably at a Vietnamese restaurant on Kingsland Road.
But how do you then... What's the alternative to that?
Well... My
he just goes to the Labour Party conference and picks up chicks and
I probably have to be content to sleep with slightly less people than the rest on this panel, but B, don't you all agree that most of your most meaningful relationships you've had weren't born of dating but were more from meeting someone in a chance situation and building some sort of rapport over a series of natural occasions? You may have along the way had a drink or gone for dinner, but it wasn't Thursday, a film, Sunday, a walk in the park, Tuesday, drinks in town, followed by a late night Chinese, the next Friday, friends leaving drinks, you can come along too. You know, this
weird
whole
cow bingo
series of, oh.
But you're just dating in your friendship group then. Like, you're just, but, so, you know.
But I'm not dating.
At work.
I wouldn't.
But you're meeting people within the same world rather than saying, okay, what's, you know, sort of further outside.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it shuts me off from some of the great possibilities in the world. And I'm almost certain that's true because every time I meet someone who's nothing to do with anyone I know, they're always much friendlier, warmer, and more interesting. But what I'm not going to do is speak to a stranger ask them, or even worse, suggest a mutually beneficial meeting point.
So, okay, you meet someone in a natural situation at a party among friends, a friend of a friend. You then meet them at a series of subsequent parties.
Then my parents contact their parents and we strike a deal.
There must be a point after all that natural happening where you think, I'm into this person, I want to spend more time
with
them.
But by that point, you've probably had sex in 2017, or you've got along, or all your friends have spoken to all their friends, and again, you've struck up a deal.
Right.
Or you've done enough flirty social media interactions, you've poked or liked your way into their...
Right. And then...
It will.
But and then you want to spend some more time with them.
We're meeting
and then
up at 8. I better go for a drink at 7, so I'm ready. And then like, oh, what are you drinking? Should we have a shot? Like, tee-hee. And this kind
but
of...
But I think you've built up this
Yeah,
whole
I
thing.
Feel like you're building these walls and you need to use this as an opportunity to punch them down. Because I think I totally get what you're saying about how these really natural, organic ways of meeting people are the most enjoyable. And that's usually where you actually... fall in love, but they're so rare.
The quote marks, the air quotes on that were very big.
Worthwhile relationships are rare. I'd say if you're going to have sex, have sex. If you want to go to the cinema, go to the cinema. And if you want to bring a friend to come to the cinema with you, also great. But this in between that is a waste of time and money, where you don't doesn't necessarily lead to sex and doesn't necessarily lead to a relationship, I think is an outdated.
But let me make the case. Okay.
No.
I think you're wrong. And I enjoy, I think, all the bits of dating that you hate the most. I agree with everyone saying, you know, you can still go for dinner with someone and not be a date. But I enjoy what I think of as basically a real life reality show called Britain's Got People. And basically...
actually how you think of it.
Yeah.
Is this podcast a long-winded way for you to get your TV show?
Yeah, I'm pitching it. No.
It's a long-winded way of getting a date.
Yeah. I like that you like sit down in some place that could be quite rubbish, or like you say, it says a lot about them that they've chosen it, and you sit and you chat to them and you're like meeting this whole new thing, and then sometimes if it goes well you have sex, and even if it goes badly it's like this weird insight into like this whole world that you knew nothing about, and it's entertaining and it's kind of exhilarating because it's slightly risky and unknown, and that in itself is like quite a good feeling. I think it is true that first dates are entirely unmagical. If you do meet someone off Tinder or whatever, there's none of that thing of like you've won someone over, or you've had to make yourself feel nervous, or there's been a flirtation that's turned into something. And I think that lack of magic is inherent in their then later failure, because you were never that excited about it in the first place, even if you had met that person in some other situation and worked up to it, as it were.
Maybe I'll change my thing then for that. You make a good point. Maybe I'll qualify and say first dates. Is it I want to avoid a date, because eventually you will need to face up to.
I'm really sorry, but eventually you'll have to go on a date.
The idea of you and another person together engaging with each other's personality.
Your poor ex-girlfriends. Yeah.
That is that's the flip side, is that it does sound like you're slightly scared to be alone with the people that you're seeing.
You're never more alone than when it's just you and one other person.
Or alone with yourself.
Okay, we've narrowed it down to first dates. Stand up if, given the choice, you would never go on another traditional drink and a meal first date again. Oh, Fred and Nina and Angus is getting close. Angus is getting close.
Go on, Angus.
Oh, Angus as well.
Just to clarify, I'm so conflicted because... they are so appalling, but yet the thought of not having them is a bit like not having like some of my worst haircuts and fashion decisions. It's like such a part of my experience, my coming of age journey. So I kind of feel like I shouldn't stab them in the back just for the sake of a podcast.
I think the more that we exist in these kind of digital spheres, the more of ourselves we put there, the less interest, the less there is in real life. Like when you go on a date with someone you've meticulously researched, you know their sexual history better than them before you've even met up in the pub, and you know you've been through all their tagged pictures, so you pretty much got an idea of the last 5 years of their life. Sometimes what you're left with in the physical form can feel a little less of a whole, because you're joining dots that you've already made before you've even got to know them. And I think until we can put slightly less impetus on all these other ways in which we exist and get back to a kind of real human-to-human interaction, we will have a bit of a problem with creating anything genuinely meaningful, and it won't just be the kind of divorce rate that we're worrying about, but any sort of long-term relationships, full stop.
You think too much, man.
So probably because I'm not going on any dates or having any sex.
A bleak outlook, but Nina, Fred, thanks very much. Yeah, But It's Not As Simple As That was produced by Sam Bonham at Rethink Audio. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, maybe even leave us one of those delicious 5-star reviews. I'm Sam Wolfson. We'll be back soon.
It's an interesting discussion anyway. And you kind of, yeah, plugged into all the kind of things that seem to be on people's minds.
Here, borrow this, you'll be very into it.
Great. I will. And I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.